Hey, you guys. How are you this evening?
Good.
Is it a special occasion? It's not water. It is a special occasion. Here's what the special occasion is. I forgot my water bottle in my fridge, and a very nice young man happened to be walking by and gave me a Coke. So I didn't have to make a run down to my water bottle. So it was a good deal. So it's a special occasion. Hey, you guys, it's been a good week. I've enjoyed our time together. And hey, as we get started this evening, I just want to review, because this is so important, all right? This is something that needs to be so ingrained in your mind, all right? The Bible is true from
cover to cover.
Let's do it again. We got to get it better than that. The Bible is true. All right, so that means the things that it says in here are the answers to your life problems, okay? The things that it says in here truly have the answers to the problems in life that you're dealing with. So understand and remember that the Bible is true from cover to cover, and that is just huge. You guys, as we've gone on this journey this week, I think you've been very blessed by the fact that you've had counselors who've lived out what we're talking about, all right? We've been talking about being a follower, not a fan, right? Your counselors have gotten up here and they've shared with you their life stories. They've shared with you the hard things. And yet they've shared with you that Jesus is worth it. And so I just want to say thank you, Taylor, thank you for tonight. And I know there's some of you that I've missed during the day, but you guys have all done a wonderful job. And you'll never know how much your stories impact. All right, so thank you, counselors. All right, one more thing before we get into our story of Solomon, and that is this. I got a question brought to me today, and it kind of fits with what we've been talking about. And the question is this. And I hope I understood it right. But the question was, how can you be a follower of Jesus while playing sports and going to school? And how can you put Jesus first? Did I understand that question right? Is that the general idea? Okay, here's the hard part. You're busy, right? Some of you are so busy, you get up early in the morning, you go to school, you do your sports, you have homework, and I mean, and your day is just full. And you're saying, when am I supposed to put time, when am I supposed to get the time to be with Jesus? When am I supposed to take the time to read the Bible? When am I supposed to take the time and pray? And I can't tell you how to live your life, okay? So I can't tell you, well, it's easy, you just do this. It's not easy, but I can tell you a little bit. Again, I got the opportunity to play in football both in high school and college. And in college specifically, there was times that we were on the road a bit, and it was pretty hectic. This is what I had to learn, not only for my devotion time, but for my schoolwork. I had to become disciplined. You know what? In middle school, that stinks, right? It does. It stinks to have to become disciplined, but it means that you couldn't just blow off your time. You had to be very intentional. Hey, I was thinking about that, and I don't want to spend the whole time on that this evening, but Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let me read it, and this is what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. You guys, can you play sports and be a follower of Jesus? Yes. But what's the most important thing in your life? Is it that sport or is it Jesus? Seek first Jesus. All right? Seek first Jesus. As you play sports for the glory of God. Do everything for his glory. All right? Are you out there trying to get people to be, "Ooh, you're amazing," and be your fans? Or are you trying to point them to Jesus? And so as you do it, be disciplined. Set aside the time, make it a priority, and as I said yesterday, I understand you can't walk around all day with your Bible. Find something. You know, I'd use a 3x5 card, but a lot of you guys are more high-tech than I am. Use your phones or whatever the technology is that you guys use, all right? Because I'm still back in the 1800s. Well, maybe not quite that far. But, all right, find some ways. Be creative, because you guys are very creative people. So I hope that answered the question a little bit. And we want to. I want to move on tonight. We need to get back to Solomon. All right, so we've been on a long haul with Solomon here, and this is the last night that we get to hear from Solomon, because we're going to finish up his life. So I need my drink, and then we're ready. Man, I tell you, not only did God give me wisdom, but he also gave me the time, the resources, and the ability to build that great temple. And I told you earlier that the temple took 20 years to complete. 20 years from the time we started building the temple till it was finished. And after the temple was finished, we had this huge celebration where we dedicated it to God. And we glorified and we worshiped God. And that night, God again appeared to me for the second time. Remember the first time? Remember the first time God appeared to me? He said, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. This time, this is what God said to me. God said, as for you, if you walk before me with integrity, with uprightness, as your father David did, you do all that I commanded and observe my decrees and my laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. Basically, what he said is, if I live right before God, if I obey his commands, if I worship him, I will always have one of my descendants, one of my kids, on the throne of Israel. That sounded really good, didn't it? And so that's what I tried to do. I tried to live right before God. That was my intent. But you guys, I got to tell you something. This is really hard for me to say. I had a problem. I loved women. It's okay for a guy to love a woman, as long as it fits within the biblical standards, the standards that God laid out. One man, one woman in marriage. Sex saved for marriage only. Only in the marriage relationship. It's okay to love a woman as long as she doesn't become more important to you than God. But I loved women that I was not supposed to love. Not only did I love them, I took them to be my wives. I took women from countries that God said no because they weren't part of God's family. I took women, I just loved foreign women and I couldn't get enough of them. And I wanted more and more, and it became this habit. It became this thing that consumed me. It came to the point that I had 700 wives. 700! I was crazy. And 300 concubines, women that I wasn't even married to, but I was having sex with. It so controlled my life, and it destroyed it. It totally ruined my life. Do you know why it ruined my life? It ruined my life because I wanted to make my wives happy. I was so obsessed with my wives that they became the most important thing in my life, and I started to worship their gods. See, it really started simple. I didn't start out by worshiping their gods. First, I just built a temple for their gods. Right? I mean, that seems right. They come and live with me in my country, and they have their God, so I might as well build a temple for it. And pretty soon they're like, come on, Solomon, come worship my God with me. And I gave in. I gave in to that pressure because I wanted to please my wife. All 700. And I went and I worshiped. Do you know what I did? I committed idolatry. I worshiped something other than the one and only true God. And it destroyed my life. You guys, I have to tell you, it was only by the grace of God that God did not rip me off the throne and give it to somebody else, but he did raise up. He did raise up enemies against me. It was really, truly because of my father David that God promised that he didn't rip me off the throne, because that's what I deserved. You guys, that's a story of Solomon. Unfortunately, it doesn't end completely there. After Solomon died, let me tell you this. First of all, Solomon never took the time to repent to God. Here was the wisest man that ever lived. And he turned from the one and only true God to worship rocks, pieces of wood. He never, to the best of our knowledge, ever repented of that sin. And you guys, when Solomon died, the country that he was king of was ripped apart. Again, because of God's promise to Solomon's father David, one tribe, the tribe of Judah, was saved to stay under the line of David. The rest of them went their own way. You see this? Do you understand what happens? Sin destroys, but sin also has effect on other people. And so, that was the life of Solomon, you guys. And even though Solomon started out with a very bright future, he finished very poorly. So, we're going to look at some things with Solomon's life tonight and see how it applies. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So, here we go. But first of all, can you honestly say that Jesus is your one and only? Solomon said he was going to worship God, didn't he? And then he changed the way that he was going. You know, before I really get into this, can you honestly say that Jesus is your one and only? Here's what I've heard a little bit of rumbling about from some of you. Okay? Some of you have been saying, be a follower of Jesus. Why? Why should I? I want to answer that. You ready? Here's my answer. Why not? Have you thought about why not? I mean, why not be a follower of Jesus? But that's just one perspective. Here, I want to kind of run through a few things with you. You basically have two choices. You can choose to follow and worship Jesus Christ and be a dedicated follower to Jesus. Or you can follow and worship and serve you. Okay? That's basically what it comes down to. Now, here's some of the things about if you choose to serve you. If you choose to serve you, you get to do whatever feels good to you. That sounds good, doesn't it? You can do whatever you want as long as you can get away with it because it's about you. That sounds great. But I got some bad news for you. This isn't stuff that I'm making up. This is stuff that people have said who've tried to live that lifestyle. They've said this: you will never be satisfied. Okay, here's kind of an example. Some of you, if you're serving you, you say, you know what? I can go to a party and I can have a beer and I get a little bit of buzz. This is good. I like this. This is great. But it's not enough. Pretty soon that buzz isn't good enough for you. And then you got to drink more and you got to totally get downright drunk. And then that's not good enough. And it just keeps going down that road. You'll never be satisfied. You know, for some of you, you may be into looking at inappropriate pictures. Pictures of someone of the opposite sex. And you're looking at them and you're lusting over them. And that's not going to be enough. So pretty soon you're going to start messing around with your boyfriend or girlfriend. That's not going to be enough. You won't be satisfied with that. You're going to have, you're going to just go and have sex. You're going to go all the way. Then what? You still will not be satisfied. You guys, the things of this world in and of themselves will never satisfy you. Never. You know what? Maybe those two illustrations didn't hit you. Maybe you're one of these people that like to buy things for yourself. Okay, in and of itself, buying things isn't bad. But you know what? Maybe whenever you see something new, you have to have it. And you get that new thing, and then you're satisfied, right? Absolutely not. Not you see something else that's new. You see somebody else wearing something better, and you're like, oh, I gotta have that. And pretty soon you've spent all the money that you have. Then what do? You go into debt? You steal? You'll never be satisfied. You guys get that point? I know I'm kicking it hard. I'm trying to help you understand that you can go after the things of this world, and for a time being, it'll feel good. You'll feel like, yes, this is what I was looking for. But in the end, you will not be satisfied. You guys, why have a relationship with Jesus? Why be a follower of Christ? Because that's what God created you for. That is what God created you for, was to be in relationship with Him. And if you choose anything different, you're choosing second best. Remember the illustration I gave this morning about going to somebody's house and everybody's getting served chocolate cake except for that sibling that you love, your little younger sister or brother? And they got fed dog food. It doesn't seem right. Now, here's this, take that situation. What if you were there and you had the choice to have chocolate cake, but instead you chose dog food? That wouldn't be very smart, would it? But that's what we do when we choose the second best. A relationship with Jesus is the best. Hey, here's the last thing on why. Okay? Why to be a follower of Jesus? I want to tell you, this is what the Word of God says. Josh brought it up in the verses that he read and in the songs that we sang. The only way to have eternal life, the only way to spend forever and ever with God, is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You know what? If you choose not to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, right now what you're saying is that life on this earth is more important than forever and ever and ever. Okay? So you need to choose. And that's all I'm going to say about why you should. But I do want to just talk about Jesus being your one and only for just a second. Being your one and only. Hey, I had a friend this past week, we're going to call him JP. JP called me, and he's in a dating relationship, okay? And in this dating relationship, he's found this girl he thinks might be the one, okay? He really does. He was telling me all these great things about her, but then he told me something. He says, I'm sick. I don't know what to do. I said, well, what's going on? He said, I was looking at her Facebook page. On her Facebook page, she's making out with another guy. There's pictures of her making out with another guy. And so JP, he calls her up and he says, what's up with that? And she's like, oh, that's my old boyfriend. He's like, get those pictures out of there. She's like, no. It brings back good memories. Hey, what do you think about that? How would you feel? How would you feel if the one that you think is the one for you wants to hang on to those memories of making out with another person? No way, man. No way. I'm telling you, but that's what we do to Jesus. We say, Jesus, you're just one of the things that I love. Right? By our actions, we say, Jesus, you're just one of the things that I love. And you know what? I have these other things that I love too, but really you're on the top. You're really the one that I'm choosing this week. But I don't want to forget about these other things. Did you guys follow that? Do you see how important it is to say to Jesus, you are my one and only, not with your lips, but with your actions? Because I tell you, this girl was telling JP, you're my one and only, you're my man, and he's going, I don't think so. Hey, do you guys have sin in your life that has control over you? Remember we talked about that this morning? Remember how we had that horse and we put hobbles on its feet and it couldn't get away? And it was totally controlled by that sin? You know what? I know what it's like to be there. I've been down that road. I've been down that road where I've had sin in my life. I knew it was wrong. I hated it. And I couldn't get away from it. And it totally controlled me. And it was destroying me. You guys. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Hey, how hard is it to get caught up in sin? Really, how hard is it to get caught up in sin? It says right there. Easy. It's easy to get caught up in sin. You don't have to try. I think today I'm going to do my best to get caught up in sin. You don't have to do that. It sneaks up behind you. It comes up and it grabs you. It says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here's how we take care of sin. Ready? Verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Here you guys, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. We're going to talk about what that means here in just a little bit. But I want to tell you, sin wants to have a hold on you. So if we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, we have to answer this question. If you want to get rid of sin in your life, do you believe that Jesus can truly set you free? Because if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. Okay? If you don't believe that Jesus can set you free, it will not happen. And again, remember this morning we looked at this verse. So if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. So how does it happen? Remember last night when we got to the how-to, I said there's no plan. There's no one, two, three. Guess what? Same thing here. There's no formula. There's no way that I can just say, oh, you do it like this. Because I want to tell you, I mentioned briefly my grandfather. The moment my grandfather was saved, he was actually in a strip club. And he felt something grab him and take him out. And at that moment, he never had a drink again. He never smoked and he never walked into a strip club again. All right? But I've talked to other people that it didn't happen instantly. That they struggled and wrestled with it for a long time. So is there a formula that just says, if you truly believe, bing, it's gone? No. You guys, one thing that is a must, though, is prayer. Prayer is a must. I've also talked to a friend who struggled with sin. And for him, at that one point, he sat and he prayed with somebody, and after praying with that person, he didn't have that struggle anymore. But I want to tell you where I live, because I've never experienced those, and I believe those things happened, but I've never experienced it that way. I've experienced it through what is called renewing your mind. All right? Renewing your mind. And I got to share with you this because I want to tell you this is how God has given me freedom with some of the sins that I've struggled with. All right? Here I want to show you that I'm not just making this up. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. All right? Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will. Also, Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says to be made new in the attitude of your minds, okay? And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, what in the world does that all mean? Let me tell it to you this way. I went through a period in my life that I was consumed by want, okay? Now, every good cowboy must have a truck. Did you know that? That's one of the unwritten rules. Every good cowboy must have a truck. And so I wanted a truck. Okay, I'll be honest. I had kind of a truck. Okay? I had this old Toyota truck that was so rusty that if you stood on this side and you looked that way, you could see the other side. I mean, you could look right on through that baby. All right? And then, just to make things worse, the clutch goes out. Actually, the clutch itself worked, but there was some relay that was messed up. And here's what happened. I push in the clutch and the starter wouldn't work. So I had to push start my truck every time I wanted to use it. So this is what I do. I park it on the hill by my house, and I push the truck, and I jump in and pop the clutch, and boom, I drive to work most of the time. Sometimes it didn't work, and I'd find myself at the bottom of the hill. All right, I get to work, and I park right up there by that blue building called the Hogan, and I back right in there, and I'd be all set to go. And then when I was done with work, I get out, and I push it. Do you know what happens in the wintertime around here? It gets icy. Trying to push start a truck in the ice is tough. You know what made it worse? My vet. I thought he was my friend. I found out he wasn't. No, he is. But this is what he did. He said, guess what? I got a truck for sale. Would you be interested in it? I'm like, yeah. And I knew what it was because he always showed up to take care of our horses with it. It was a Dodge diesel with a Cummins engine in it. It was an extended cab, I mean, four-wheel drive, and it was like a true cowboy truck, I'm telling you. I said, hey, Doc, how much do you want for it? $10,000. Huh. I didn't have $10,000. So I came up with a plan. I'd sell my kids, and then I'd have $10,000. Okay, that's not true. But, you guys, this is what happened to me. I could not buy the vet's truck. I got to the point that I'd drive down the road, and I'd see a truck, and I'd get whiplash. Boom! I want that one. Oh, baby. And I started thinking about it all the time. Do you know what that did to me? It started to control my life. Now, this may seem strange to you, but it's true. It got in the way of my relationship with my wife. Diane and I started fighting, and we never fight. Very hardly, rarely. I mean, we have disagreements, but it was happening a lot. And then, you want to know what else almost happened? We said, we're going to leave Fort Wilderness because I don't make enough money to buy a truck. Isn't that dumb? But that's what was going to happen. Why? Because I wanted a truck. It consumed my life. At that time, this is what God did to me. It was great. At night, I'd lay down with my boys and we'd memorize the 23rd Psalm. You guys know the 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all of a sudden, I started going, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's all I'm doing. How did I renew my mind with the truth of God's word? You guys, this is what I would do. I would drive down the road, and I had to first acknowledge, you know what, God? You are my shepherd. My shepherd provides for me. He gives me everything I need, not everything I want, but he gives me what I need. And so I'd be driving down the road, and I'd see truck, and I go, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I tell you, some days I think I said it all day long. Over and over and over again. You guys, you want to take care of sin in your life. Renew your mind with the truth of God's word. Renew it. Memorize scripture that fits with the sin you're struggling with. You know what? For some of you, it's purity. All right? Some of you have a hard time keeping your thoughts pure. You're thinking about things you should not be thinking about. You know what? Titus chapter 1, verse 15. And I'm just going to throw out a whole bunch of different verses that fit with different things to try to help you with this, okay? And if you need more help, please talk to me. But here's what it is. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupt and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their conscience are corrupt. You guys, let's be honest. There's times things come on TV that make my mind go the way I don't want it to go. Do you know what I say? I say to the pure, all things are pure. I want to be pure before God. I want to be pure before my wife. I do not want to think about another woman at all. Inappropriately, never. Because it's that important to me. It is. So to the pure, all things are pure. And that's a verse I've had to use. Because I want to be pure before God. I want to be pure before Diane. You know what? For you, maybe it's controlling your tongue. I'm sorry, this is still with the pure. I switched gears too fast. Here's another good one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Hey, if you find your mind thinking about things that don't fit on that list, change what you're thinking about. Just keep saying the verse over and over and over again. Now, I encourage you to get a card with write a verse on it. Hey, if there's a sin that you're struggling with, find a verse to put on that card. So every time you just pull it out, wear the card out. It's okay. Okay, now the tongue. We talked about this verse earlier in the week. You know, maybe you have a hard time controlling your tongue. Maybe somebody does something and all of a sudden, zing, you just can't stop it. Right? Maybe you're ripping people down without even, it just happens before you think. Here's a good verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I encourage you to memorize that verse. Memorize that verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Because I want to tell you, your tongue can get away on you. It can totally just take off. Hey, you guys, another one is, just all of James chapter 3. This is a different verse, but all of James chapter 3. I'm trying to hurry through things because we need to keep moving. But here's one for you guys who have problems with anger. I know nobody here ever gets angry easy, right? Yeah, right. Okay, here's a good verse to work on if you have anger issues. All right? Anger issues means that when you get angry, you sin. Okay, that means you got an angry issue. Anger issue. Here we go. James 1, 19 and 20. My brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Okay, there's just some examples. I know it's taken a little bit of time, but I wanted to give you guys some tools to go out with. Okay, I wanted to give you some tools on how to deal with that sin. Continue to renew your mind with the truth of God. It takes time, it takes practice, it takes work, but it works. Honestly, it works. So as we wrap things up, as we wrap things up tonight, you guys, I want to encourage you. Don't leave camp without having made up your mind. Are you going to be a follower of Jesus? Are you going to follow Jesus? And I kind of wrote up something that maybe it'll help you guys understand what we're talking about. This is just an example of what you could say. Say, you know what? I want to live my life for Jesus. I want Him to be Lord. I want to do my best to follow. I know that I will make mistakes, but I trust God to forgive me as He promised. I will do my best to starve the flesh and feed the Spirit and to become a doer of the Word a little bit at a time. Okay? That's just an example. There is no such thing as a magic hocus-pocus prayer. You say these words and these things happen. But understand this. You will make mistakes as you try, but continue to try as you follow Jesus. Don't give up. Keep working at it. Keep working at it. And because you don't have to fix your life before you can become a follower of Jesus. You have to commit your life to Jesus. And as you follow Jesus, your life will begin to change and transform. So here's the last thing I got to say to you. Talk to your counselors. Tell them what you're thinking. Tell them if you've made a decision this week. Tell them what you're struggling with. Ask them to pray with you. All right? But you guys, I don't know if you know this, but your counselors are here because they care for you and they want to spend that time with you. So take advantage of that opportunity. Spend the time that you have and talk to your counselors. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, there's some tough stuff tonight, and I just pray that you help us to trust you as we walk through it. Lord, I pray that you will be glorified in our lives, and Lord, I pray that we can make the hard decision to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.